Welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking today with one of our local principals from Sycamore, Ms. Robbins. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming out. So tell me a little bit. I know a little bit about you.
Yes. They,
everybody knows about me. I've talked enough over these past interviews. I've talked to some principals, directors, teachers, tech faculty, lots of different people. I don't think I've talked to an elementary school principal yet,
okay.
So that's good. You'll have some good stuff to tell me. So tell me a little bit about yourself, how long you've been in education,
okay.
How you got there.
Okay. This is my 26th year in education. I actually started probably 28th if you count. I taught 2 years at a private school when I first started trying to get my foot in the door. That was back in the
mm-hmm.
day, you know, when everybody needed a job and there was multitude of people for every position. So
correct.
I had
correct.
To, took me 2 years to get my foot in the door. So my career started at Monterey High School.
Okay.
I'm a K-8 teacher, which is not heard of now, but
right.
back in the day, I was a K-8 or still am a K-8 teacher. And Bob Weatherholt hired me, which he was my principal when I was in school, or my assistant principal. So he had an opening, and it was back when they were on block scheduling. And it was a 7-12 school, so he hired me to teach one class out of my area, which was general business, seniors, high school, and then I had a 7th grade computer class. That showed me real quick that I didn't want high school and was thankful to be in elementary because, you know, second semester seniors do not want to do anything and neither does anybody else with them in that classroom. So that was my start. Soon after that, Judy Delk transferred to Upperman Baxter and opened up a position in 7th and 8th grade science. So I got that position, stayed there till Berks was opened in 2001, moved to Berks because I am a K-8 major. Couldn't stay at the high school. Stayed there until 12 years ago when my best friend, Jennifer Phillips, which is a teacher at Sycamore, said, "Hey, you should come to Sycamore." So Mr. Ed Wheaton was the principal at the time, which I went to church with and had talked to on several occasions. And he actually was my high school teacher at one point in time. So I knew him, and his wife was my teacher as well. So I knew them well. I started talking to him. He said he would have some openings if I was interested. Next thing you know, I'm at Sycamore. That same year he retired, he hired me and then retired on me. So, I never actually worked under him. Tracy Neighbors came in that same year. She and I came, the same year. And, I was there for 1 full-year teaching 4th grade when they opened up assistant principals at the elementary level. They had not had any assistant principals at the elementary level. This was the first time. And my husband and I talked,
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host today, Jeremy Wendt, talking to Principal Ms. Robbins from Sycamore Elementary. So we were just talking through some of the day-to-day things, but I got to start, didn't get to my question yet, about your favorite teacher. I always love to hear these stories.
I would say my favorite teacher is Retta Sells, and actually I think she still subs. I've actually called her a couple times since she'd sub for us, but I just remember she was always that just down to earth, loved on every kid that came through. You loved her because she loved you. She loved all of us. And so just that, she always stands out in my mind every time I think back to elementary school and just her love of the kids and the love of everybody around her and how she treated everybody fairly and equally and loved on us all. So that's she would be one of my favorite teachers.
What grade? What grade did she
teach? That was 6th grade, and
sixth grade.
That was back when elementary was K-6. So she was my 6th grade teacher, and she was always honest with us. She would just be straight up about different things, life lessons, things that just, I remember giving us life lessons about different things and, you know, make sure you don't do this. This is what you need to do. Just always just, and then I got to come back and work with her for a little while. So that was always neat. I got to work with several of my former teachers. So that's always a different and neat to do when you get to come back and work with the teachers that taught you. So, yeah.
And they have such a big influence.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
Know, yes. Some of the conversations we've had, that teacher was the one that kind of reeled you back in and kept you on the right path or even encouraged you to, you know, some of the people have talked about their teachers that saw the teaching potential and kind of steered you towards that path along the way.
Right.
And so that's always kind of fun to hear. You know.
And I had so many. I mean, you know, yes, for one,
it's hard
but there's
to pick.
So
I
many
know,
that
it's hard
there
to pick.
Are, and because I had so many good teachers and just good teachers that loved loved teaching and loved kids. So she's one that stands out, but I could name so many because I had many, many good teachers in, over the years of growing up. And because I grew up here in Putnam County, so I'm a Monterey girl. I went to Monterey, went to Uffelman in Monterey High School. So some great teachers, and I've enjoyed working with some of them even after the fact.
Yeah, and having them along the way is such a big deal. And then, of course, it, when you're local, you still get to see those teachers.
Absolutely.
So you see them out, and it means so much.
Oh, yeah.
When somebody catches you, and I know that you see students, too, they see you at Walmart, and they're
I know.
Ms. Robbins.
Why are you at Walmart?
I know.
You have a life? What?
Yeah.
You come out of the building?
Outside?
Especially the littles, they're
yes.
like, you know, they're always so shocked to see you somewhere else. I'm like, I come out too. I go shopping too. So, that's funny.
I don't really live at the school. I know I'm there most of the time.
But I feel like I live there some days, but yeah, absolutely. But so they were big influences. She was a big influence for me. And, you know, and thinking about, there were several principals even that probably had lots of impact on me and how I tried to treat my building and my students. Going in middle school, when we first opened Berks, Danette Colby and Mike Goolsby were my principals. And I remember them standing every morning, and you knew where they were. They were at the front of the building greeting kids as they came through every day. And so that was one of those things that stuck with me. And that's one of the things I try to do as an administrator too, is be up front and ever as children come through, you know, and call them by name. I feel like it's important to call them by name because I want them to know that I know who they are. And so that's one of my things that I try to build those relationships with those students as they come through, greet them every morning by name. You know, some of them don't want to speak back to me and I'm like, hello.
It's a little early.
But yeah. Some of them are a little shy, but you know, usually by the end of the year, they're all good morning. You know, they're calling back good morning to me as well. So, that is one of the things that, you know, it was instilled with me just through them. I thought that's, you know, I felt like that was a big impact for them because the students knew that they cared and they were there every morning to greet them. So I felt like I need to do that for mine as well.
Yeah. And that's the one of the many rewarding sides. You know, we try at Tennessee Tech, when we're working with pre-service teachers, we try to let them know it is difficult. You know, there are these hard things and there are hard days. But then the flip side, you know, you've got the rewards. So it's not like you're in a job that, I mean, it's a career, but it's not like you're in a job where it's hard and it's hard and you go home and there's no reward.
Right.
You know, we feel like with education, and I love to see that passion of those students that know that. They know that it's going to be hard and difficult, but they know that they're going to have the rewarding side,
too,
the good
right.
days that balance
the light bulb
that out.
Days when they see them finally catch on to something and finally are proud of themselves for something that they've accomplished. Oh, absolutely. And it's the same. I mean, even in, you know, there's numerous times where a teacher will say, hey, I'm sending so-and-so to you. They read to me for the first time. Let them read to you. And, you know, just cheering them on and being their cheerleader along with their teachers, you know, that's some of the best times in, you know, in the building is when you get to be a part of that. The teacher lets you be a part of, you know, them championing them to be better and to, you know, have good days and to grow. That's some of my favorites. I enjoy doing that. I enjoy when they send them to me and I get to brag on them and be happy for them. And you know, when something like that, when a teacher tells me something like that, I do car line every day. And so if I see a parent in the car, I'm like, hey, I wanted you to know so-and-so said your child was great today. I just wanted you to know that, you know, because I feel like, you know, you hear all the bad, bad, bad. So it's nice to hear, oh, your kid did great today. They had a great day. And so I'm so proud of them. And so try to have those good conversations as much as possible. That way the bad, to help out, wave the bad when I have to have
so
a bad.
Hard.
Exactly. Because, you know, those are never fun for anybody. But, you know, if you've had more positive conversations. And I tell that to the teachers too. And you probably tell that to your students, you know, have as many positive conversations as you can on the front end, because that way when you do have to have that bad conversation or that not so good conversation, they take it so much better because it's not, you know, if all you hear from a teacher is negative, 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 that's not going to come across, you know. Parents need to know that you're there for their children, that you care for their children, that you're, you know, and so they need to hear that on the front side. Mm-hmm. So that's some of the things that we talk about, you know, in our PLCs and when we're in with teachers and just going through it. And they know that. And that's not an issue with most of my teachers. That's, you know, they're quick to reach out to parents about things and good and bad. So,
yes. And that's probably one of the most important things is the mm-hmm. communication.
Oh, absolutely. It's key. And that's what, you know, and every once in a while, you know, we've had to say, you know, their first contact should not be me. They should have heard from you a long time before they ever hear from me, good or bad. You know, they should always hear from you first. And like I said, most of our teachers, that's not even an issue. Every once in a while, there's some lack of and 9 times out of 10, if there's an issue, it usually has something to do with communicating. Mm-hmm. They didn't get, you know, they got a communication, but they didn't understand it, or they didn't understand quite what happened, or, you know, just didn't know the ins and outs of what was going on. And so, you know, usually most of the time, when they bring it to me, if I go through and I investigate, get all sides of it, usually it's cleared up most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time, that's all it takes is just a little that I'm going to listen, I'm mm-hmm. going to take them seriously, and then I'm going to, you know, get to the bottom of it. So usually when I do that, and usually it's just something a little bit this, you know, left out, or they didn't catch all of it. So usually it's just you know, communication issues.
Yeah, or it just got lost in email somewhere.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
it could have, and that's good and bad with email and technology and all the different chatting options. You know, things get lost. It's
yes,
so easy
they do.
to get lost when a little conversation
yes.
could clear something up.
It was a long way.
So quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Along
Absolutely.
The way. Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to take another short break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more with Ms. Robbins about the day-to-day life of a principal.
Okay,
welcome back to Local Matters, talking with Ms. Robbins from Sycamore Elementary. So we've talked through a little bit of day-to-day as a principal, so I know that you greet the students at the mm-hmm. door. And so then what does the rest of your day look like? Just hanging out and, you know, not doing
drinking
much,
coffee,
right? Drinking coffee.
Yeah, hanging out.
Yeah, checking
yeah.
email.
Oh, checking email. So that's a constant battle.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends from day to day. Today, I had a post-conference with a teacher that I evaluated earlier in the mm-hmm. week. Then I had another observation that I did. So I spent an hour in a third grade classroom doing an observation over a teacher right before spring break. Yeah,
yes.
She's loving me. But it went really well. So then I'm, you know, usually it's meetings, various meetings from day to day, dealt with some discipline, mm-hmm. Had a first grade classroom I spent a little time in because I had some that was trying to buck up on them. So it's, you know, every day is different. And my assistant principal, when she first came, she said, that's probably the part I like the most about it. She said, is you never know what's going to hit you when you walk through the door. And I'm like, absolutely. I mean, we have some things on our schedule, which, you know, it's very rare that there's not something on our calendars.
Mm-hmm.
And so every day looks a little different. Some days we had, at one point in time, we had 3 meetings scheduled for the same time. She said, they do realize there's just 2 of us, right?
Uh-huh.
I said, we might need to remind them that we already have something down. So I'm having to work on training some of them to look at my calendar when
mm-hmm.
when they try to start scheduling things. And gosh, every day it's. I was thinking about tomorrow. Tomorrow I have some post conferences in the morning, some meetings already scheduled. Pep club's coming by to talk. Trying to get some library chairs ordered.
Okay.
So I'm setting up meetings for that. So it's a barrage of things from day to day. And when I have a lull in my day of sorts, usually we try to get in classrooms, check, make sure that, just kind of following up on, we do intellectual prep with our teachers every week, every mm-hmm. Tuesday. And so we're following up to see, just to kind of see those lessons unfold in the classroom, mm-hmm. doing IPG walkthroughs, doing fidelity checks with our RTI teachers, things like that. So there's always something to do. There's never a shortage of things to be done. Mm-hmm. Emails are always piling up,
mm-hmm.
always. That's the reason why when we first tried to schedule this interview, it was in my email and it got lost in my email. And so I'm like, oh, I got to respond to that. So it's there's always something going on. Never a dull moment.
Yeah, never a dull moment for sure. And we won't stop and try to explain some of the acronyms. We have more acronyms in education.
Yes,
I think
we do.
Maybe the military, there could be a few more. But you mentioned being in the classroom, mm-hmm. and I know that that's something that has kind of shifted mm-hmm. since we first came into education, having the principal in the classroom more and mm-hmm. working more with the teacher, like with the IPG, the Instructional
right.
Planning
mm-hmm.
Guide, correct?
Yes.
I know that's been kind of a shift
mm-hmm.
because back in the day, even when I was in school – a few years back, I don't remember a principal coming mm-hmm. into a classroom
nope.
unless there was a major problem.
Exactly.
You know,
and they were more of a manager, building managers.
Correct.
and
correct.
Management of what was going on. Absolutely. And we, especially I think elementary, even more so, we're more coaches, it feels like, mm-hmm. than we are. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're still leaders, but we do a lot of, there's a lot of coaching involved in that. And like you said, the instructional planning guide, Tennessee as a whole, we've tried to really shift and really work on those basic skills and those K-1-2 classrooms. And so we're trying to make sure that we're using good materials, that we're high quality materials, that teachers are using those to fidelity. They're using them all the time, which in my building, everyone uses the curriculum, that when they're in there, that, you know, there's a shift too from, you know, the teacher, you know, when we were in school, the teacher taught and the kids sat there and they took, you know, they mm-hmm. listened, and it was more lecture mm-hmm. kind of style, where now you're trying to get more of, okay, let them be more of a, you're a facilitator as a teacher, and you're trying to get them to be the driver of their education, and they're more involved, and they're asking those questions of each other. They're having those conversations about, why did you add two here instead of, you know, why did you choose that way of adding? Because I know math is always, it's a new math, you know, I hear all the time.
Right.
I don't understand it. So why did you use that strategy? Well, I did something different, you know, and I try to tell parents, you know, I know it looks like a new math, but it's really not a new math.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as adults, we do things in our head all the time. You know, we just learn to do it over the years. We're trying to teach kids to do that on the front end instead of figuring it out over time. We're trying to show them, oh, you can do this mentally in your head. Just think about, you know, how do you make a 10? Can you break mm-hmm. it apart into a 10 and things like that? So we're trying to get them to think more, use their brain powers on the front end. So unlike us, that we had to figure it out as we went, oh, wait, I can do this in my, you know, so we're trying to teach them those strategies of doing things. And so, so we're in there in the classroom supporting. I mean, my I feel like one of my main things that I do is support teachers. You know, what do you need? What do you need to get, you know, do you need resources? What do you need? And we have mm-hmm. some good coaches in our system. We have two coaches that support our teachers, both in English and math. And this year new, we have some new science and social studies coaches as well. So they're starting to support too, just making sure that teachers have the resources they need. Time's always an issue, trying to make it all fit. There's not enough minutes in the day to try to get it all fit. And that's probably the difference between, you know, two is over the years is it's the schedule is tight. Like teachers have lots to get done, and there's not a wasted minute. And so not much downtime, I feel like, as far as what, like when we grew up, mm-hmm. you know, not that there was a lot of downtime, but I mean, I just feel like that
it's
now
more
it's just more,
yes,
a lot
then.
More flexibility. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. And just now it's just, you know, most of the teachers are teaching bell to bell for the most part. So, mm-hmm. They're staying busy. They're getting lots done. So we're trying, you know, pushing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you do. And that's, you know, it's funny because it feels like it doesn't leave time for extra things. So I saw recently that one of the legislators talking about adding extra PE time, physical mm-hmm. activity time, which in principle, mm-hmm. you know, is not a bad mm-hmm. idea, no. you know, to mandate that and say, well, we should get more.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like with anything, you're like, well, okay, where do we squeeze mm-hmm. that in?
Right.
You know, what do we pull mm-hmm. to put that in? And it's, you know, I think it's probably a good thing, but it's like everything is important. You feel like
it's
everything in the day
act.
Is
Absolutely.
Important.
Absolutely. It's a balancing act, you know, and mm-hmm. it's not been too long ago that we implemented RTI, which is a response to intervention mm-hmm. for those students that are having those deficits and those skill deficits. So, you know, once you start putting that in, and we already have a mandated so many times of PE a week and mm-hmm. so many times of, which I agree, I think they need the physical activity, they need to be moving. And so, but it does, it makes hard for scheduling when you're mm-hmm. trying to make it all fit. And so you don't have much leeway once you start putting in those chunks, because that's usually what I do when I do scheduling. I put in the chunks that I can't do anything about, and then what's left is what's left. So
yeah.
and sometimes that's hard. So
yeah. And how do you decide that? Because I know that in some schools, like at Prescott, there's a STEM coach mm-hmm. and so I know you could work STEM in, and but I know that different schools have kind of different priorities. So if you do find that chunk, you're like, mm-hmm. oh, next year there's going to be a 45-minute chunk right. in the schedule. How do you decide what to plug in? Who do you talk to? Do you throw darts at a board and
that's a good question.
And decide it that way?
I think that for us, one of our focuses, and this has been even with Miss Neighbors before she left, one of our big focuses, I think that for us, is finding time for when we have kids that have those deficits. Mm-hmm. And finding time to remediate those deficits, having those small group time. Anytime we have extra time and they can do small group, it's mm-hmm. obviously better than whole group. So we've really tried to, and that's one of the things that RTI, or response to intervention, is mandated. But it's also a time that I tell teachers, that's a jewel for us. That's a time that you can really do those small groups. You can kind of hone in on those skill deficits if they have any, mm-hmm. or if something's going on. That's a time that, you know, we've got to make sure that we don't squander, that we use it, you know, in the best way. And so we've tried to really, especially with this new third grade law, try to make sure that K-1 and 2 were hitting those deficit areas hard. And so so if we have extra time, that's usually what we're spending it on, is trying to get those RTI times, making sure everybody's getting what they need and working on those deficits and getting them caught up before they hit mm-hmm. third grade. The third grade law is it's interesting.
Yeah, it's tricky to navigate.
It makes things interesting for all involved. And so, mm-hmm. So it does place some extra burden on your third grade teachers, which, mm-hmm. you know, we're talking about teacher shortage before, you know, you see less and less people that apply for third grade positions mm-hmm. like you did before, because there is a burden on that. And so, but that makes us, that's just make us really push harder in our kindergarten, first and second, because mm-hmm. that's where they learn to read. That's mm-hmm. where that's where they need to get those basic skills, and we've got to make sure they have them before mm-hmm. they ever get to third grade. Mm-hmm. So that's usually where our extra time goes, is into those skills. And we have two intervention teachers and two intervention assistants. So they stay busy. We try to we get as many groups as we can and reach as many kids as we can each and every day. And so and so far with the third grade law, we've not had anybody that's actually been retained based off that law. So that's a
big deal.
That's absolutely. And so hopefully it stays that way. But, but yeah, so that's kind of where, you know, we've had art over the time, but it was always we had to have a volunteer that would mm-hmm. teach it. And usually that would go through our specials program, which I wish we did have art. That's one of those things. Specials, I think, you know, there are kids that they excel at specials, whatever specials, or encore. They excel at music. They excel mm-hmm. at, you know, reading or PE or whatever. So, those are crucial areas, because there are some kids that's where they're good, and they need right. that. They need to be good somewhere. And right. It's one of the things I try to tell my specials teachers and all the time. I'm like, kids need you. They need you. They need to be good in these areas. They mm-hmm. need that outlet, either music or, and I wish we did have art, but maybe one day we'll get art back. But but those are the areas that that's the things. And I think that's the things that they remember, you know, in school mm-hmm. is so.
Yeah, those specials. And they get it's easier at the middle and high school, because they mm-hmm. kind of get to pick those things.
Right. Absolutely.
But you give them a great foundation in the elementary mm-hmm. school, and it's exciting. Well, we've reached the end of our time.
Oh, well.
So I appreciate you coming out and talking
absolutely.
Today. And we'll
thank you for having me.
Have you back sometime.
OK, well, thank you. I appreciate it.